broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for May 27th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, and one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. It is a freedom-loving, faith-filled, fantastic, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, Friday. And we're delighted to welcome back Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, his website, to preserve the nation, his lifelong goal and collegiate series to match. Check out his website at freedomsrisingsun.com. Not only is his collegiate series there, but his weekly webinars and a whole lot more. freedomsrisingsun.com. Doctor, welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you very much. It's always good to be here, but you know, this is the beginning of a Memorial Day weekend, and of course, most people don't really realize this is, they decorate everybody's graves, which is a wonderful thing to do. Remember those that have gone before, and generally we don't even have any idea how much we owe the people that went before. We stand on the shoulders of so many and so on, but it was originated as kind of remembrance of those that were sacrificed on the altar of America's wars. And so we've kind of lost track of that over the years. And over the years, I've done enough speaking on Memorial Day weekend. People ask me to comment on the things that this is all about. But to most people, it's like Grandma and Grandpa were here and died, and that's good to remember them. Again, I'm not denigrating that idea, but that was not the original intent of how this came about. And it's become a general kind of get together than more than anything. And so anyway, go remember your family members that have gone before. Think on what,
and remember those who have sacrificed, though. Come back to the original meaning of the day to some degree and realize that, look, there's been a lot of sacrifice that has really been the core of what we have today, what we believe in, what we oftentimes take for granted, what we oftentimes don't pay enough attention to. It's good to study your history, those have gone before you, on a personal level, meaning your own family history, but it's also good to understand the sacrifices that have been made for each one of us. And most importantly, though, you know, remembering the past is good, but unless you live your life in the present and prepare for the future by our actions, a lot of it is lost. You know, let's spend the time to take their legacies and carry them forward. The reason we study the past, the reason we remember the past and reverence the sacrifice made, is to understand the blessings we have, to not take them for granted, and then live in the present to make sure that we're providing the same legacy for those who follow us. So I guess what I'm saying is it's a big weekend, an important time to remember, an important time to assess your life and recalibrate your compass, if you will. And you need to point more to God, family, and country, if you will, if you want to carry forward the legacy and leave a meaningful past for the future generations to appreciate, to celebrate, to reverence, and to appreciate, and then for them to do their duty as well, Doctor.
Well, it certainly is, and the, as you point out, the legacy for those of our posterity that will come after us, we have a great responsibility to maintain and preserve the blessings of liberty. And you know, the thing about the war dead, for example, there's no denigration of those that sacrificed their lives, of those that bore the wounds and the scars, of the family members that grieved over loved ones. I mean, all of those things are horrific prices to pay. There's a number of things I like to think about. One is, of course, what kind of liberties will I leave behind for my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all my posterity indeed. And we're kind of becoming less than focused on that, let's put it that way, in this nation nowadays. We're letting it slip through our fingers with ignorance, with unwillingness to put forth any effort, all those kind of things. But in addition to that, I think we need to learn that so many of the wars that occurred, in fact, if you listen to a guy, I mean, I've read extensively a guy by the name of J. Reuben Clark Jr. He was an undersecretary of state. He was a former ambassador and a spiritual leader. I mean, a pretty astute guy, really smart when it came to constitutional issues. And his perspective was the only just war the United States had, or the last one, I guess I should say, just war the United States was the War of 1812. Now, that does not denigrate those that served and those that sacrificed and all those kinds of things. But his perspective is based on a constitutional perspective on justice and the rules of engagement in war, you know, God's rules of war, if you will. And so I guess where I'm going with this is we need to be mighty careful that we're not sacrificing our posterity on the bloody fields of, you know, the killing fields that we create. And we have created killing fields all over the world. And they say normal things like, we don't ask for any territory, we only want a place to bury our dead, and, well, it sounds pretty high and noble. But honestly, in my entire lifetime, we have never been involved in a war constitutionally. We've never followed that basis of war once, not even once. And we have engaged in war through, I mean, people say, oh, Putin invaded Ukraine. Well, we've invaded a lot of countries. And I think back in the spring of 1970, when I was in the service, the invasion that occurred in Cambodia. I mean, many times we go into countries on invitation of other countries, and that does not justify it constitutionally, but it has a lot more moral standing than the invasions that we've done all over the world. And those that we don't invade, we provide surrogates with weapons and stuff. You look at what's going on in Yemen, for example. The billions upon billions upon billions of dollars that we have given in weaponry to Saudi Arabia to wage war against Yemen, starving out hundreds of thousands of people. It may approach millions. I mean, what we've done in Iraq, for example, and you say, oh, we only killed a few there. No, the real casualties are those that the immune compromised, let's put it that way, the very young and the very old. When you blow up their water treatment plants, their electrical systems, you destroy their clean water. Those that are more susceptible to waterborne disease or need hospital care and they don't have good electricity there, all of these things go by the wayside, and the very young and the very old bear the brunt of it. And so there are costs to war that we almost never think about. And it's horrific what happens to Americans when we get involved in things like that. But on the other side, we think about, holy cow, how many were sacrificed on an altar that we had no right to bring them to that altar? I mean, how much does it vary from the Mayans marching their prisoners of war up the temple steps to cut their hearts out? I mean, you know, it sounds pretty brutal, but there are so many things about war. It's the most brutal, most horrific, most onerous burden that any nation ever bears, and that's why the American founding fathers put the gates, if you will, on the entry into war. The, you know, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11. Congress has the power to do that. Why? Because they were closer to the people that would bear the burdens, and this idea of just war needs to be considered. And so rarely do we ever do that. Every single president in recent decades has been guilty before God for unleashing horrific firepower on the nations of the world. I can't imagine that the Prince of Peace doesn't weep. He doesn't weep over what we do to our fellow man. And we just need to give more consideration to that. It's just not our war, Dad. It's everybody. And it just wars are so rare indeed, and we could give you lots of quotations by American founding fathers that support that position. Just wars are rare, and most of them are based upon whim and fancy and piqued leaders that get ticked off about this or that or the other. lies and more darn lies. I mean, you think of the weapons of mass destruction that were touted that took us into Iraq and never found. No, they weren't there. They just weren't. And they beat the war drums and, you know, the National Security Agency and the CIA and the FBI and the executive and the Congress. Everybody and their dog is beating the drum, and there was no justification. It wasn't our war, never, not at any time. And so, I mean, there have been so many people that have lost loved ones, people they cherished. And, you know, we got to take it more seriously. So I guess that's one of the things I like to remind myself as we come up on Memorial Day, is that it is an onerous burden for a nation. And to not denigrate or undermine or besmirch in any way the service and sacrifice of so many that gave their last full measure. And some of those that didn't give their last full measure, I mean, that bear the scars. And honestly, lots of times the scars are not visible. They're mental and emotional. I mean, I personally know people that have been back from Southeast Asia many decades, and they still suffer from extreme nightmares, and families are disrupted because of it. So
it's
anyway.
Time to contemplate, ladies and gentlemen, our place in the world and the solutions we provide. Are they really solutions? Do they point people to God, family, and country? Do they fulfill the proper role of government? If we're engaged, is it a just war?
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, why are we a warlike people? Why are we easily distracted from our assignment to prepare for the coming of the Lord as Christians? Just war is rare. Dr. Scott Bradley is right about this. But why are we a warlike people, Dr. Bradley?
Well, I wished I knew the answer to that. I think that it is the nature and disposition of almost all men, as soon as they get, and women too, by the way. We've proved that many times in the modern history. As soon as they get little authorities, they suppose they begin to exercise unrighteous dominion. And deep thinkers all through history have considered and understood that. I mean, you go back to 1701 with Daniel Defoe, and he said all men would be tyrants if they could. And Lord Acton, 100 years after the Constitution was signed, said power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so there's got to be checks and bounds and so on, and a recognition that use of unrighteous power and force. Yeah, there will be wars, and the Founding Fathers understood that. They knew there were evil people in the world. They knew that we would have to defend our life, liberty, property. They knew they would have to defend their wives and their children and preserve their blessings of liberty and their ability to worship God and all those kind of things. So that was included in the Constitution. But the frivolous, unfettered unrighteousness that goes about the land and the world, this nation really has become purveyor of death in so many cases, very often, sadly, at the behest of other nations that we operate at their request, and we pull the trigger. And you look at NATO, for example, and we've got Sweden and Finland that are saying that they're thinking they want to come into NATO now. NATO is a war document. It is a document that commits the United States, signed in 1949, commits the United States under a division of the United Nations, and that's all it is. It's a regional arrangement under the United Nations to fulfill the requests of the United Nations. And if any nation that's in NATO gets attacked, all nations are involved. You immediately engage. And you say, well, what does Sweden or Finland bring to our defense if we need it? What does any of the Montenegro or what about some of these little countries that we've let in the last two decades that are absolutely, completely waiting for us to come to their aid whenever somebody crosses a trip? We're a tripwire. That's all we are. And it violates the U.S. Constitution. It violates the original intent of the American Founding Fathers. And the founders talked about treaties, that the foolishness of thinking that a treaty could engage us in war if some nation were attacked. It's utterly false. But the founders understood all these things. They had watched the sad history of Europe with all of their complicated alliances and everything like that. We could talk at length about what happened in World War I and how it came about. Totally unnecessary. The cascading effect of these things. And then we roll back to the scriptures. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That's what the heavenly host sang at the birth of the Savior. And peace on earth, that is what the Prince of Peace stands for. And we have a responsibility to stand in righteousness in that. Again, wars will happen, but far, 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 far too often, we are the instigators and promulgators of war. And again, those that serve, they feel like they're doing. I mean, I was, when I was joining back when I was 18 years old, I remember one of my friend's dads had been in the Battle of the Bulge and seen and done and been in a lot of different things. And he said, so you think you might be willing to go give your life for your country? And I said, sure. I mean, what does dumb 18-year-olds know? And he says, oh, well, how about your leg or your arm? And it was like, whoa, I could lose a leg and still be alive? I mean, things like that had never crossed an 18-year-old's mind. You were feeling like, you're full of vim and vigor, if you will, and there's other phraseologies that could be used too. But the point of the matter is there needs to be cooler heads. There needs to be statesmanlike effort on these things. And if you've got a bigger stick or a bigger hand, look, if you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And you give a hammer to a 5-year-old, you watch what he does walking around the house, he's going to pound on everything. And with the power that we have comes great responsibility. We have had some of the most amazing, incredible power that's ever been in the hands of any nation. And it's not our duty to go exercise it. It's our duty to, be the wise statesman on these things. And we're not. We simply are not. We use the big hammer every chance we get. And whether it's Donald Trump launching Tomahawk missiles for no just cause against Syria, for putting troops there and playing bumper cars with Russians in Syria around that sandbox. I mean, come on, people. we're involved in religious wars that we have no justification to be involved in. If Israel wants us there, we're there. If Saudi Arabia wants us there, we're there. By the way, that Saudi Arabian thing was a petrol dollar thing that Nixon negotiated. You take only dollars for oil and kind of shore up the dollar because we're screwing it up by printing money. And holy cow, the hundreds of thousands of times we've exceeded our expectations there. And right now that's the basis of our inflation and everything that's going on. But Nixon says, you take only dollars for oil, we'll fight your wars. And that's exactly what's been happening since the early 1970s. And the twisted, perverse things that have happened. This J. Reuben Clark that I mentioned earlier, my gracious, he made some statements about how we were sucker punched into World War II. And he made those statements in 1937, how that effort was being promulgated by so-called statesmen. We need to be wiser. We need to, you know, if you're a war chief and you can't wait to get some Marines killed somewhere around the world, you're not a good American. I mean, if you're a Lindsey Graham or some of these people that can't wait to engage anywhere there's a scrap around the world, you're not following the American plan. And, you know, yeah, we can be the light on the hill. We can, by example, by precept, by teaching, by making principles available and seeing the great value that's had in the basis of our liberty. You know, the people said, oh, yeah, we got attacked 9/11 because they can't stand our freedom. Baloney. It was blowback. It was blowback for all of the aggression that we've had in the Middle Eastern countries. If somebody loses a brother or a son or a wife or a daughter, they bear ill will. And ultimately and finally, it comes in blowback. And, yeah, we're a long ways away from a lot of that stuff. But ultimately and finally, the chickens come home to roost. If we had had the appropriate diplomatic approach to things, rare indeed would be our wars. And it isn't something that you bow and scrape and basically capitulate to things. It can be strong and true, but people respect that. And goodness knows we don't have that at the head of the nation right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, a lot to ponder this Memorial Day weekend, to say the least. Now, in Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Scripture, there's a book called The Doctrine and Covenants. In a section 98, verse 16, it says this: therefore, renounce war and proclaim peace. That's what we need to be doing in America, ladies and gentlemen, as a light on a hill. We need to denounce war. We need to renounce war. We need to proclaim peace. We have become a warlike people, easily distracted from our assignment of preparing for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are we a warlike people? Because we've been deceived and propagandized into the false notion that somehow we got to trust in man-made military hardware, that we've got to back the military-industrial complex, that we need to be in every other nation under the sun to prevent war from coming home to our shores. And this notion, this philosophy of man is satanic. It's evil. And yes, we reverence those who have sacrificed much for this country, but we need to be very careful that we don't turn people who have served their country into war heroes. You know what? We don't celebrate men of war. We celebrate people who go to war to preserve peace. But when are we preserving peace versus when are we just perpetuating more war? It's a fine line, ladies and gentlemen. And we've seemed to miss that line in our modern society to a great degree. Understand, Memorial Day was originally considered Decoration Day. We need to be very careful what we're celebrating and what we're reverencing. Sacrifice? Absolutely. Warlike mentality and the perpetuation of war? Shame on us. Let's follow the Prince of Peace as we wait for him to return, shall we? Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman in seconds on your radio.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry. A tornado watch has been issued for parts of Washington, D.C., Maryland, North Carolina, Virginia, and West Virginia until 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. A tornado watch means ingredients are in place for the possible development of tornadoes. Russian forces are making incremental progress in Ukraine's eastern Donbass region this week. The United States may send long-range rocket systems to Ukraine. The Biden administration is considering sending these systems as part of a larger military package and security assistance to Ukraine, which could be announced as soon as next week. An unidentified schoolmate of the Uvalde school shooting terrorist describes the kid he knew to ABC 8 in Dallas, Texas.
Salvador Ramos was a boy who was not bullied. He would try to pick on people but fail, and it would aggravate him. I would like to get that out of the way. He was not bullied.
USA Radio News.
Stress. It never seems to end when you owe money to the IRS. What about the years of unfiled tax returns? Have you tried another tax service and gotten nowhere? Then you need Tax Alliance. Why? Years of being A-plus rated with a Better Business Bureau with no consumer complaints sets them apart. Call 800-624-9275. That's 800-624-9275. Don't wait until the IRS attacks your wages, bank account, your home or pension, and even your Social Security check. Tax Alliance specializes in IRS tax relief programs, including the Fresh Start Initiative, which can finally free yourself from IRS debt. Their tax professionals can file returns, fight the IRS to substantially lower your IRS debt, or possibly even have it forgiven. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes, have unfiled tax returns, or have a payment plan and are still frustrated, call 800-624-9275. That's 800-624-9275.
Tax Alliance, your tax resolution solution.
In 1971, Memorial Day became a national holiday by an act of Congress. It's now recognized annually on the last Monday in May. Memorial Day's purpose is to honor military members who have died. The gross domestic product in America is another reflection of our economic inflation.
The latest GDP numbers show the economy shrank slightly since the beginning of the year as inflation remains high. Senate Minority Leader from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, says Democrats' policies are responsible.
Anyone wanting to grill a bacon cheeseburger over Memorial Day weekend will find ground beef up 15% and bacon up 18% compared to only 1 year ago.
Democrats say inflation is high across many nations and is caused by many factors, including supply chain issues, the economic recovery from the pandemic, and the Russian invasion of Ukraine. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, Dr. Bradley with me, ladies and gentlemen. I want to switch topics, though. We'll talk more about Memorial Day on the actual day. How's that? You know, hopefully we can turn to God Almighty and He can guide our words and our paths to provide solutions for the nation and for the world at large, as we are or should be a light on a hill. So economically speaking, let's talk about that a little bit. Davos, as you know, just finished. But I don't know if you know this, Dr. Bradley, but the headline says this: Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, and Google are flush with cash, and they are positioned to emerge from the downturn stronger and more powerful than ever, despite the fact that they have lost $2.7 trillion since just the start of the year. Now imagine these massive corporations can lose $2.7 trillion, not even blink an eye, they're flush with cash. It is shocking. We talked to Pete Sepp yesterday on the broadcast of the National Taxpayers Union, who you know, and we talked about the CBO, that's the basically accounting, the Congressional Budget Office or whatever. They say their outlook projects a massive tide of red ink. So that's what we can expect, massive tide of red ink. So while these companies are flush with cash, government's got a rising tide of red ink. Now, Dr. Rand Paul issued the penny plan. You just save a penny by cutting a penny. It got rejected. It would balance the budget in 5 years if you did the three-penny plan, by the way. But, of course, everybody rejected Rand Paul's proposal. in Congress. Meanwhile, the revolving door, Ms. Psaki, Biden's top, quote, press liaison, will join MSNBC as a host, so the revolving door continues. And anyway, very, very serious allegations, to say the least. Also, Davos mentioned climate change merely a way to control the populace, if you will. So that's happening. I wanted to talk to you about the economy a little bit because gas prices really at an all-time high. A lot of people thought we'd have a bump in inflation, and then before you know it, it would kind of settle down, and not so. In fact, it's getting worse by the day, Doctor.
You know, it's interesting. The anybody can go into their internet and look on the national debt clock, a real-time national debt clock. Right now, as I'm looking at it, it's $30,476,546,700,000, and I can't keep up with how fast they're spinning. Anyway, so well over $30 trillion of admitted debt, and you can go down a little bit further on there, and you can look at total debt, you can look at unfunded debt, and all those kinds of things. How debt has become the driving factor in America. And household assets and household debt, national debt. We are a debtor nation. There's no other way to put it. And what is really interesting is that we're kind of, not kind of, we're really on track with what happened in Weimar Germany after World War I, and with the reparations requirements that came forth out of that Treaty of Versailles. That scandalous thing that happened with Woodrow Wilson's fingerprints all over it, and the effort to get a world government started under the League of Nations and everything. But the Germans, they cranked up the printing presses so they could start paying their reparations that there was required. See, the treaty didn't want it in gold. They wanted it in the mark. And so they said, well, if they want marks, we'll give them marks. And they started printing them. In my book, I talk of liberty and economics and what happened in Germany. There's a chart that I've got that pegs the German mark to gold. And right now, I think gold is being manipulated in the United States to manipulate it from really starting to show the true reflection of its value against the diminishing value of the dollar. Anyway, we're on that path. And when we go to another basket of currency, there is something of a stabilizing factor with the dollars for oil kind of thing, that the petrodollars that have been on, and the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency, you know, on the Bretton Woods agreements and everything like that. There's a strong and kind of inextricable march towards getting rid of the dollar as that. And when that happens, the true value of the dollar will begin to reflect itself, and it will be something Americans have never really quite experienced. They did to a small degree back in the revolutionary period when they cranked the printing presses and, you know, a couple hundred continental dollars were required to take one silver U.S. real dollar. But we ain't seen nothing yet, folks. And what's the mentality is, and you look at what happened in Davos with the World Economic Council. Look at who the partners of the World Economic Council are. These are the big, big, big industry people. I mean, whether it's the Yahoos and the Zooms or the big economic houses or it's the big pharma companies or the media companies, those people are the ones that are on the inside. And they're going to use whatever manipulation they can to make their pockets get lined with the stuff they take out of our pockets. And so everything that's happening right now is by design. You know, the G20 group or the World Economic Council, all of these guys are scoundrels looking to pick our pockets. These are not statesmen that are trying to preserve the blessings of liberty. That idea, by the way, of a, general welfare that's found in the preamble of the United States Constitution in Article 1, Section 8. The general welfare has nothing to do with redistributing wealth, which is what the socialist is into. It has everything to do with predictability, and stability. So good government will provide justice. Good government will protect the nation against invasion. Good government will prevent economic instability because they have a sound monetary system. And all of those things were provided for in the United States Constitution. We've abandoned that. And now we're looking to these false gods that are being promoted across the world in supranational organizations with Klaus Schwab and his cronies going to tell us that they've done this coup d'etat over all the world. But they're the beneficiaries, and we the people are not. And the American Founding Fathers had a totally different perspective. So, yeah, the inflation, I mean, you know, you can't send everybody in the nation thousands of dollars through the years and expect to not have the money supply get jacked up so high that it doesn't buy anything.
It's interesting. And people can't even understand what $1 trillion is, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, what the heck is $1 trillion? It's not even possible. I mean, I know people try to show like a warehouse as far as the eye can see with money stacked up, or they try to explain it this way or that way. And Pete Sepp of the National Taxpayers Union put it kind of the best I know. He says, look, if you think of it in terms of percentages of things, then it's easily, a lot more easily understood. But Ben Stein issues an urgent inflation report. I'm not super into Ben Stein, but he's right on this one. Look, it's going to last for a long time. We ain't seen nothing yet. Because the problem is, once fuel is this expensive, it's hard for truckers to get anything anywhere. And once they do, then, hey, all that's just added to the end cost of the goods and services that you're going to have to deal with, ladies and gentlemen. There's no end run around this, and nothing's being done to mitigate it. In fact, they're spending us into oblivion. Rand Paul wants to cut one penny from spending, and everybody simply mocks and laughs and jeers and ignores him, and then they spend trillions more. They're creating this crisis, ladies and gentlemen, every single day, and we the people aren't engaged. We're not doing anything about it, Doctor. We're not doing much about it at all.
You know, you're right. The numbers are so big, they're mind-boggling, and most Americans would rather, you know, worry about what's the next TV show on or some silly nonsense like that. But the fact of the matter is that we look at just something simple that just happened, a $40 billion gift to the oligarchs in Ukraine. So the bad guys to fight the bad guys are getting $40 billion passed, not unanimously, but almost. I mean, it was overwhelming. They had given $13 billion before that, so $53 billion in the last few days, really.
And Rand Paul tried to stop it and create accountability for the money, and everybody on Capitol Hill and everybody in the media mocked Rand for just trying to create some accountability and slow it down and bring some transparency to the discussion.
And the fact of the matter is, the best he could hope to do was delay it a week. And that's how completely absurd the so-called leadership of this nation is. There is not a shred, not one shred of authority to do what they've done with this. You can't take from all the American citizens and give to some other tin-horn dictator in some other country. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Everywhere
else.
Amen
to that. But people know it's going off the rails, Dr. Bradley. There's a new poll out. More than 80% of people are dissatisfied with the direction the U.S. is going. According to a Gallup poll, just 16% are fine. 80% are not fine with the direction the country's going. Hang tight.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
For decades, leftist, liberal, socialists, and feminists have been screaming and crying, "My body, my choice," in order to justify the premeditated murder of innocent children in the womb. However, this is a fallacious argument, since science has proven and demonstrated that the baby has a separate set of DNA from the mother. If it's not your DNA, it's not your body. That is science, and you should trust the science. Remarkably, the same people who have been claiming "my body, my choice" for decades now want to force you to inject foreign substances into your body against your will. Obviously, they never cared about "my body, my choice." They just wanted to control you and have permission to kill babies. I am Ammon Bundy, and when you elect me governor of Idaho, I will sign an executive order on day one of my governorship prohibiting abortion in the state of Idaho. Because premeditated murder of the innocent should never be legal anywhere in the world, especially Idaho.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to renounce war and proclaim peace, ladies and gentlemen. We've got an urgent inflation report by Ben Stein. But more than 80% of the people are dissatisfied with the direction of the country. Just 16% are satisfied, Dr. Bradley. That's a Gallup poll. People know things are wrong. They just lack what they can do about it, right?
Well, you know, I just wonder how bad it's going to be. I mean, before people finally wake up. I mean, people need to start paying attention. And we've been trying to do this for so many decades. The vast majority of our mortal existence, and every single indicator is on the wrong slope. You know, you look at a graph and you say, okay, it's on an upward slope or it's a steep slope, whatever. Every good indicator is on the downward, and every bad indicator is on the upward. And you know, you talk about this, federal debt to GDP ratio. In 1980, it was only 34.59%. Now it's 129.13%. People, we are in debt. We look like Greece or Portugal or Iceland or Ireland. I mean, you know, they've got the old, they call them.
And I say it's even worse than that, Dr. Bradley, because
oh, it
look,
is. This is the
admitted. Those are third world countries. We're supposed to be an anchor nation, if you will. We're supposed to be the example of solutions and prosperity and free markets and everything else. Once the bastion of America falls because of debt, there's nobody safe.
Well,
there's no safe harbor left.
You're right, and that's always been understood by those that were trying to overthrow the freedom of the lands. And in fact, when Engels and Marx put together their Communist Manifesto, Engels wrote a preface to that, and he mentioned the United States in it three times in that preface, and so you know, America was on their mind, clear back in the 1800s when they did this stuff. I mean. And people that are thinking people understand this kind of last bastion of hope. And again, the current leadership, and I must say that I look at presidents as kind of a group of lessers. These people are just there to do the bidding of party and all those kinds of things, and they're manipulated by other forces than principle. They take an oath to uphold the Constitution, to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. That's the president's specific wording. And yet, they continue this spiral, this death spiral we're in. And America...
Well, and there's a disconnect, not only between money and morality, but between all kinds of things. So 80% plus not satisfied with the country. But then the next headline says this, new polls out. Majority of Democrats believe children should be able to choose their own pronouns. There's a direct correlation, doctor.
Think about this for a second. The nonsense. People think, oh, you're so close-minded. My plea always is, get your kids out of the public indoctrination camp. Stop sending them on the concentration camp bus. And getting them indoctrinated every day. You know, we talk about all of the things that are wrong in our school system and how kids are being murdered and all that kind of stuff. We don't teach anymore except for this social equity kind of nonsense that's happening. And it's everybody is in despair. The nihilistic approach to life is fostered in those indoctrination camps.
Do I get to choose my pronouns, though? Because they say that children should be able to choose their pronouns. And I'm finding that I think you're allowed to choose your pronouns if you go down their road of confusion, dishonesty, immorality, fake news, propaganda, whatever godless agenda they have. I want to use my own pronouns, but I also want to use phrases for my pronouns. Can I do that? Can I have my own phrases? So mine would start out, would say male created he, me. The second one would be father. I'm a father. The next one would be husband to one wife. The next one would be, am I allowed to use phrases and little statements for my pronouns? Proud son of Almighty God. Provider, protector. Can I use these kinds of words and phrases to, I could just write a little paragraph about me, and everywhere I go, I'd just peddle that paragraph, son of Almighty God, father, provider, male, husband, man. We could use this to our advantage if enough Americans would stand up. Most Americans are like, no, I don't want to define my pronouns. They're obvious. That's goofy. That's crazy talk. It is, but it's a chance for us to stand as disciples of Christ. It's a chance for us to stand teaching who we are in our relationship to our Father in heaven. Right? So mine might say family man. Grateful for the children God has sent him and his lovely wife. See, I could use all kinds of pronouns and phrases and things that could really teach some fundamental principles and doctrine, Dr. Bradley.
Well, absolutely. And the fact of the matter is that it is a fact. These descriptors that you're using for yourself reflect reality. And this nonsense, I mean, we had a Utah legislator here in a recent legislative session that put forth a bill that would have allowed people to go back and change their birth certificate to their new selected gender. And it's like, oh, we've got to be a kinder, gentler. We've got to understand and everything. No, you're facilitating insanity is what you're really doing. And this really is what's happening. Most people have no tie to that eternal principle. There's a presentation I give to young people oftentimes to give them a kind of a framework of, in which they could live their lives if they want to put God as the tie to everything that's happening throughout all eternity. I mean, our origins and our destiny and our purposes on this life, we talk about those kind of things. The vastness of God's creation.
Like I could say promoter of God, family, and country.
Yeah, you could.
I could say faith-filled family man is what I'd, these kind of phrases are how I would, and I could write, it'd probably take a page maybe. And whenever I send out an email, you'd have a page on all my pronouns and all my descriptors and who I am and what I stand for and what I believe in. And are they really going to let me do that? Or are they going to say, no, your descriptions aren't acceptable, Sam. That's, we're not doing that.
Well, the things that they're doing are perversions. There's no other way to put it. They're falsehoods, and we're facilitating insanity. And rather than trying to help people overcome their inconsistencies and their false impressions and their belief system that is destructive of their souls, we're facilitating it. And again, get your kids out of the indoctrination.
Amen to that.
Centers.
I would write one woman man on mine. See, I just go ahead and just quadruple down in the facts of and I'm telling you, their minds would just explode, and they just don't know. They don't know what they would do with it. See, but then they'd say that I'm peddling propaganda, saying that a man is a man and a woman is a woman, and all these different things. And how do you know there's a God? And they'll attack everything we hold dear, ladies and gentlemen. But listen, Clinton's campaign manager was under oath. Clinton campaign manager under oath. Hillary personally approved Trump Russia. They say plot. I say propaganda. It was a lie. Are we going to arrest Hillary over this? We need to.
It's interesting to me that the Joe Biden, I mean, we have this on video. You can find it probably in a 2-minute search on the internet, is extorting the Ukrainians about, bow your knee or else you won't get our billions of dollars of taxpayers' money. And Trump gets impeached over the idea that he wants somebody to look into that. I mean, come on, people. I mean, the Hillary Clinton, the Steele file and everything like that, total falsehood. The FBI was up to their neck, up to their eyeballs, over their head. I don't know how you want to put the deepness of their involvement in it, but the Steele file, it was totally fabricated, out of whole cloth, falsehood to every core, and it basically put on hold the whole country while we stood by in awe of their shenanigans. Every single step of the way, this is un-American, and we've talked about things like abortion and debt and war and everything today, but every single one of them is on the wrong trajectory. It's divergent. We're
no question.
We're balkanizing the United States, not just with foreign influence and bringing in invasions from other countries that bring their socialistic perspectives, but also we're balkanizing. Balkanizing has to do with the fragmentation of a country. You look at the old Yugoslavia, for example, and that's where it came from.
Yes, it's the intentional dividing of cultures with an enemy game in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Last point before the end of the hour, I mentioned this to you, that Elon Musk was trying to buy Twitter. He's manipulated things. They tried to swallow the poison pill, the whatever. They tried to this and that, and then he was supposedly going to get control of it, and then he got it, and then he said, wait a minute, there's too many fake people on Twitter, and we got to get a bottom of that. And now the Twitter shareholders, if you will, Twitter shareholder lawsuit, they're accusing Elon Musk of market manipulation now. I warned this would happen. I told you this would happen, whether Musk gets Twitter or not, I don't know. Time will tell. But I know this, now he's being sued for market manipulation because, hey, you're supposed to do your due diligence behind the scenes, not in the public eye after you've already made your offer. So time will tell what's going to happen with this, but you ain't seen the rest of it, I promise you that. Again, just more how the insiders play ball, and they fire these volleys across, and you and I suffer as inflation gets out of control while Elon bargains down the price of Twitter. Very interesting. I don't know why he didn't just start his own media company in the first place, but there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And I submit to you that it's going to get a lot worse. It just is. And I pray that it doesn't, but I predict it will. And in my mind, that's just one example of the economic problems we're facing, Dr. Bradley.
Well, it is just one example. And all of these big tech companies are really smoking mirrors, just like the cryptocurrencies are. I mean, they're not based on any substance or anything like that. People say, oh, you got to mine the cryptocurrencies. No, you don't. Your computer looks for it, you know, and gets it. Everything has a false premise nowadays. And if the big tech companies all folded, yeah, it'd be a real shudder through the economy. But maybe we'd be better off without the Yahoos and the YouTubes and the Twitters and the tweets or whatever the heck everything's out there.
Maybe. I'm confident we'd be better off.
Yeah, for sure. But the fact
I'm confident
is they're manipulating.
Because anytime
everything.
You want to promote moral, right, good, honorable things on there, you get simply kicked off, shut down, censored.
Well, like,
so I'm confident we'd be better off without the propaganda tool. And that's why Americans believe and we're a warlike people. That's why the economy is tanking. That's why all the communist principles denying God, family, and country are in play. Americans are propagandized to the point where we can't hardly think straight, and we're losing the treasure on a hill, if you will.
The jab is made popular by their falsehoods, and everything else is too.
Amen to that. Dr. Bradley, thank you so much. Have a delightful Memorial Day reflective weekend. And, of course, we'll be live Memorial Day as well, and we'll look forward to it, sir.
We'll talk to you then. You guys all take care.
There he goes, Dr. Scott Bradley, ladies and gentlemen. His website and collegiate series to match, to preserve the nation. That's the goal, right? That's the collegiate series. FreedomsRisingSun.com is the website. Not only can you get that, you can get the webinars and a whole lot more. Check it out. FreedomsRisingSun.com. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, BrideyOnRadio.com. Spread the word, share the love, would you please? We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.